Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to the fourth episode that we're doing in this special series, almost live from the Hershey RV Show, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. We started on the first night doing tiny trailers and talking about all the buzzy news and tiny trailers. Second night, we went with the bling is the thing. We talked about some really fancy Class A motorhomes. Third night, we did some RVs for larger families, and tonight we're wrapping it up with sort of our deep thoughts about the current state of the RV industry and where the RV industry is going based on what we're seeing here at the Hershey RV Show. And it's really like based on what we saw when we went out to Elkhart this summer and the Hershey RV Show. But before we dive into those deep thoughts, we really need to thank our friends at Progressive Insurance who made this entire run of special podcasts and all this great content possible.
Absolutely. And Progressive RV customers can also sign up for vacation liability, an optional coverage that protects you if others are injured around your RV or campsite. To sign up for optional liability protection of up to $500,000, call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV.
All right. So it's late Sunday afternoon and the Hershey RV Show is coming to a pretty dramatic close. The crowds were incredible, particularly Saturday and Sunday. I have never seen such crowds in an RV show. Now, we went out to RV country this summer and visited a bunch of different manufacturers, and now we really spent this entire time here at the Hershey RV Show, and we really saw like everything. So it left us with some kind of thoughts about the status of the RV industry now and where things are going. So we're going to break this down into four different deep thoughts we want to talk about. First one, the Europeans are coming. The Europeans are coming. American RV industry, take notice. The Europeans, yeah. They've landed, man.
You know what? I don't think that American manufacturers are quaking in their shoes. But
maybe they should be.
But I do think that there's a rumble right under the surface. I think that there's some ripples. Okay.
Well, there's some chuckles too. Mm-hmm. Because I think that some of them are like, oh, ha-ha, how cute, the Europeans are here, you know, but we're not worried about them, ha-ha,
but
IKEA,
we know our Americans.
So the Heimer group, right, mm-hmm. had a big display here, and it was a pretty buzzy display. So they had their Class B vans here, which looked really good and looked really interesting, and they also had their trailers, the Touring Edition, yep. travel mm-hmm. trailers, which really people were highly, highly interested in, even though they weren't for sale yet.
Right. So we looked extensively at the Active, right, which is a Class B motorhome today by Heimer.
Floating around $100,000.
Right.
90 to 100.
And this is for 10 years running, this is their number one selling Class B in Europe.
Yeah,
and this is Heimer's number one selling Class B.
It's a cool floor plan. Yeah. I mean, for two people, you have a comfortable bed, a decent-sized bed in the back. You have a wet bath. Mm-hmm. You can take a shower back there and use the toilet. And you have seating for two.
Well, you have seating for two. Here's the difference, I feel, between this model and what you see in some of the other Class Bs that are out there. They put the emphasis on the back. The bed is bigger. Okay, than what you find in other Class B models. And then also, it doesn't break down into a seating arrangement like you see in the other Class B models often. It breaks down almost more into like a little office workspace, sort of wardrobe kind of a situation. So they're saying like, we're not just going to create more space for you to sit. We're going to create more usable space.
More flex space.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, and then the gray tank and the freshwater tanks were pretty big.
Well,
they were like 30 to 36 gallons. But then the black tank,
yeah.
is a cassette toilet, mm-hmm. that's 5 gallons.
Yeah.
So there's something to think about.
You know, the gentleman from the manufacturer that we were talking to, he gave the reasoning behind that. He said, you don't want to lug a huge black tank, right, to go dump it. He goes, say you're, you know, boondocking at a festival or something like that. He's like, this is 5 gallons. He goes, you can take this out. It looks like a suitcase. Roll it to.
He claimed it was very fashionable.
The porta potty, yeah. and dump it
well,
in the porta potty.
Well, he was saying at a rest stop on the highway,
yeah.
you could bring it to the potty.
Because it's 5 gallons.
So,
he goes, you might
be running back and forth a lot, but it's easy to do.
Yeah, and that was his point. I mean, 5 gallons, you can get rid of it. You don't need a dump station. And I thought that was a really interesting point.
So these were cool Class B. Now, Winnebago's been rocking and hitting the Class Bs hard, so I don't know if they're worried about Heimer or not, but when we say the Europeans are coming, you know, this Hymer Group has bought Road Track. And really, you know, what we've heard is they've bought Road Track for the extensive dealer network. I mean, they've also bought it because it's a great brand, but they brought it for the extensive dealer network so they could start introducing a lot of their other products, which my intuition tells me the American market is really ready for some of their kind of hipper, cooler, smaller, hyper-practical, IKEA-like floor plans in both travel trailers and small motorhomes.
But that is not the only thing that we're saying when we say the Europeans are coming, because we're also seeing it. It's not just like, oh, European RV manufacturers are going to come over to the United States. What else is happening is you heard an interview with Truma on our podcast last year. They have been producing technology in RVs for decades over there in Europe. Well, all of a sudden now, it's not so unusual to see the Truma hot water, you know, combi system in something, in more and more things in America. So I think it's not just that the manufacturers are coming over, but that we're going to see some of the more popular technology elements or functionality elements from Europe kind of infiltrate into RVs.
And it's coming at an interesting time, because any RV insider has read about consolidation and knows that the American industry is shrinking a little bit in terms of, you know, you have two companies that own about 80% of the market. So Hymer's a powerhouse in Europe. I mean, they could come over here and really contend as a third major player, or I think, you know, you need to count Winnebago in as sort of a fourth major player. So I don't know that the future of the American RV industry is going to be completely dominated by two major companies, meaning Thor and Forest River. I think that Winnebago and maybe a Hymer could make a real push to become the big three, the big four.
Oh, I think that, yeah, I think those companies out there, I think they're raring for a fight. I think that it seems like nobody's like rolling over. I see these smaller companies is saying like,
well, little guys got a lot of fight in them.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that.
We want to be a player here. So I see a lot of will to make a real statement out there right now. And it's interesting to sort of see that play out.
There's a lot of niche players that really could become strong major players, mm-hmm. I think. All right, so our second deep think point here is that we really think that the swooshes and swirls that have dominated RV design for, I don't know, 20 years,
whatever. Almost 20 years.
We think that they will be dead soon. We really, and it's, if you walked around Hershey today or this weekend, you would have seen swooshes and swirls everywhere. But once one person changes, the dominoes start to fall. That's the way
and
the RV industry works.
Here's the thing. It's not one manufacturer that's changing. What we saw was that almost every single manufacturer, I think I could say every manufacturer has at least one example of almost like messing around with the linear design.
Yep. So Jayco has the Hummingbird. Winnebago has a bunch of things that fall into that category.
Like the Winnie Drop, most Winnie in Drop. Particular. Now, yeah.
The Forest River Surveyor awesome exterior graphics package that was linear and hip and cool and modern. And you wanted to make the point that that's not necessarily retro.
That's what's bothering me so much right now, is that if you talk to the manufacturers about a more linear look, the interpretation is retro. They say, oh, you want the retro look, like you want the Ciro Scotti, you know, look on the outside, or the Riverside retro look on the outside. That is not what a lot of us want. I'm not interested in a retro looking camper. I'm interested in a modern, contemporary, fresh looking camper. And to me, that
Surveyor
looks
hit that, man.
The Surveyor is different than anything else that's out there right now. I love it. If I had designed the exterior graphics of an RV, I couldn't even believe it. I literally was like, I was speechless. Those are my exterior graphics.
And we've just heard from different major players that they're switching over to a linear look. And we think when you come back at Hershey next year, it's going to be a very different looking RV show. And I'm just going to probably go out on a limb. I think in 2 years, you're going to see it. The swooshes and swirls are gone.
I don't know about gone, but I think they'll be severe. Diminished. I think that what you're going to do is you're going to see them more towards the front and the back,
right.
And you're going to see some more solid
swooshing
lines
on to the front.
You're going
to
see those.
These designers just can't get rid of it. It's they're hanging on to this.
What happened was somehow, somewhere along the line, the designer said, hey, if you don't put in the swishes and swirls, these things look too long. And you don't cut up the space with your eyes. And it's like a block of color. But you know what I always said? Every time I heard anybody say that, I thought of the older Bounders.
Those Fleetwood Bounders were
they're
so hip.
They're long. So and cool. I love the look of them. Yeah, and it doesn't bother me. So I feel like I can see in my head an example of that's not a vintage RV. That's not a retro RV. That's just the 90s Bounders. I love the look of them.
Yeah. I mean, by saying that, it's like you're saying 40 years of design got it wrong, you know, and that we just figured it out.
We figured out how to make it look like the
during
wind.
The Reagan presidency, we finally figured out how to make a hip looking RV. You know, that's just that's not reality.
Yeah.
So our third big takeaway is, and this is something we've talked about on the show before, there is something for everyone. The RV, it's incredible the variety that the RV industry puts out there, from like 10 grand to like 2 million. I mean, and it's not like necessarily they're covering every imaginable price point. I mean, their products do clump around price points, I think, particularly in the world of travel trailers. I was shocked at the number of travel trailers that were like $16,000 to $19,000, even if they were like bigger, smaller, whatever.
There's also ones between 20 and 30. Maybe between 30 and 40, there's a little bit of a weak spot. But you know what? So what? If you have $35,000 to spend, either, you know,
people
be happy that, yeah.
Though,
be happy that you go a little lower.
But if you're out there RV shopping and you're like, I just can't find one that's right for my family, we personally here at RVFTA don't think you're looking hard enough, because there's every possible contortion out there.
Or you have unreasonable expectations for an RV, because there is a little bit, because I feel like the industry has gotten so big and offered so many different things out there, I do feel like there is an expectation that your RV should be as functional as a home. And it is not a home. And even if you live in it, it's not a sticks and bricks home.
Not according to the government.
So, you know, if you really can't say, like, pick your price point. Pick how many people, you know, are going to be in this RV most of the time. And I don't understand how you can't find an RV that works for you. Now, does that mean that you will get every single thing that you've ever wanted? No. We had a great time walking through the show with some first-time RV buyers yesterday, or Friday, I think it was. And we will talk more about that experience in the future. But one of the first lessons that we had to teach them was, you are giving something up. If you want the big bathroom, you're going to have less storage. If you want more storage, you're going to give up kitchen space. Like, something's got to give, folks, if you have a 15-foot RV.
Pretty much something. it's literally, you can never have it all. Because even if you get a 42-foot Class A motorhome, you don't have a small rig.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can have that huge rig that has everything inside of it, but then you don't have a small rig anymore. So you can't have a big interior and a small exterior that's maneuverable and easy to park.
Yeah.
So you literally cannot have everything.
But I do feel like there is just an option out there if you have reasonable expectations. Honestly, I'm going to say it. If you have reasonable expectations, I think there's something out there.
I don't think Americans have reasonable expectations for anything anymore.
There are so many options.
I know you wanted to talk about our fourth point here, is that if you want something very individualized and customized, you're probably going to have to do it yourself. The RV industry is never going to create something that is too tailored for any given small niche of customers. As badly and as vocally as those people want something hyper-specific, they need to sell a certain number of units, and they're going to go with a neutral kind of look, no matter how badly you want something different.
Yeah, and you know, it's taken me a little while to realize how important this is for consumers to understand, because we are in the middle, right? We hear from all of our listeners, and we hear from a lot of manufacturers. We spend a lot of time talking to manufacturers and really trying to understand the products that they're putting out there and what's out there and how we feel about it and kind of processing it. Well, you know, for a long time, I feel like I understood some of the complaints from, you know, what we hear from the feedback from consumers about, like, oh, it's so bland and blah, 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 blah. Then I started to really understand the manufacturer's point of view on this. And it's people. Anytime we make something super niche, like we hear, like, oh, people like this, some people like this, and they do it, they lose like 80% of their sales on that unit. you know?
Well, and the unit doesn't survive.
Right, because it's too niche. It goes out. It's not like those individual preferences can't carry a whole line of RVs. So the way that I looked at it was, you know, people go, oh, they're all the same. Yeah, these manufacturers are kind of making like vanilla. They're trying to make really good vanilla ice cream.
Well, they're like people that flip homes.
Right?
They're like people that flip homes and try and come up with a style that is appealing to as many people as possible.
Right.
And you could be like, well, that's just because they want to sell them. Well, you're darn tooting right. They just want to sell
that's
them.
That's
the
business.
Whole business that they're in.
So I was thinking like when you have apartment buildings, right? You have like the plain colored walls or like there's the colors on the walls are plain color. And so here's my takeaway. Maybe people need, if they want these customized RVs and these individualized, like designed RVs, maybe people need to be willing to do the customization themselves and stop expecting the manufacturers to do it for them.
Or, you know, or maybe some of the manufacturers could offer, you know, some add-ons themselves that you could buy to personalize it a little bit. I mean, there's probably not money in that for them, but
right.
It might make a lot of people happy.
Because I think it costs them a lot to stock those options. I think that from their perspective,
a third party to make them,
right.
You know, maybe there's a future for that. You know, now that there's these huge, huge RV conglomerates, you know, maybe they can hook up with a third party that could make accessories for their units.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I learned this a lot in the last year. Like, wow, if I take the time and do some things inside of my RV, I can make it feel a lot, you know.
I think our toy hauler that we're going to get will be even better for that than our current trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will allow for more of your own personal touch to be
Absolutely.
Added to it because the style is so neutral mm-hmm. in a way that's actually kind of nice.
Oh, yeah. I'm really happy with the interior on that. And I'm like, I'm feeling like I can do that. Like I can really make it into my own space, but I'm not expecting them to do that for me.
So look, the industry's booming. And of course, no one knows how long that will last. An economist will tell you that consolidation is a sign that things are going really, really well and could continue to go well. You know, the question is, will there be a turn at some point in the future? Is the RV industry trying to make itself a bit more bulletproof by offering so many lightweight and affordable products? But let me tell you, people were flooding into the Hershey RV show today like crazy.
Yeah, you could.
It was like a Rolling Stones concert in the 1970s or something.
I mean,
it was really hard just to get there and park and get in. I mean, there was a lot of traffic backed up.
People were leaving having bought RVs. People were leaving with their arms full of the aftermarket stuff that they were getting from the vendors.
People were carrying like backpacks full of aftermarket stuff out.
Yeah, we stopped and we talked to our friends at Cabela's and they said people were trying to buy the stuff. They just had a display.
Well, and Campers Inn had a really nice tent full of parts.
Mm-hmm.
At which it was, it was really a lot of stuff there, a lot of options, and they were hopping. I mean, people, that's another maybe takeaway I'm just spontaneously adding here is that this show, I think, had more options for real aftermarket shopping and not just quirky niche things that one company was displaying, but you could kind of go shopping for RV goodies here at the show as well.
And people were, and they were leaving. I like, as we were walking out, you know, I saw people just with their arms full of stuff. I'm like, you know, this was a hopping show. A lot of business was done. It was phenomenal to be there. Thank you. A huge thanks to all of our listeners, our podcast listeners who found us, you know, today and all the other days we were there. It was so nice to meet you. But also a huge thanks to the manufacturers who took the time to stop, talk to us, help give us information that then we were able to pass along to our listeners. It's really important that they do that, and we appreciate their time.
And those, you know what? Those men and women are the rock stars of the RV industry to me, those product reps. You know, they are involved in the design and the build and every little choice, and they're so interesting to talk to them because they really know what's going on behind the scenes. So all of you who went out and bought an RV this weekend at the Hershey RV show, you're going to need the insurance, right?
Yes.
So we recommend that you give Progressive a call for an RV policy quote.
Yes. And while you're getting your quote, you can also think about signing up for vacation liability, an optional coverage that protects you if others are injured around your RV or campsite. To sign up for optional liability protection of up to $500,000, call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV.
And I like how it's optional. You know, it's like, if you want it, it's there.
We were talking about options. Optional. You can customize your own RV insurance package.
Craft your own insurance.
Progressive understands the niche market, and they have options for you.
Yeah, they're smarties over there. All right, thanks, Progressive, for sending us to the party. We really appreciate it. We really hope to do something like this again. I really enjoy doing this special four-part mini-series. Maybe we'll do more of this in the future for RVFTA.
Yeah, and you know, we also have lots of other information that we gathered while we were here. We will be rolling out a lot of stuff over the course of the next months as people are doing more and more RV shopping. We've got lots this RV season. I really feel like there's a lot going on in the RV industry right now. I feel like it's a good time.
It's an exciting time for us to be podcasting and covering the industry. Lots of shakeups, lots of changes, lots of unpredictable things that could happen. And we'll be following the story of the whole industry till we're old and gray and crusty and cranky.
So we will see you at the RV show, and we will see you at the campground.
Yeah, we're not done camping yet this season. We hope you're not either.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.